Hi, Jeff.
Why are you whispering?
I'm not whispering. We should do, we shouldn't, but we could do one of those ASMR, you know, like podcasters, like, hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast, you know, and just like, you know, we'll like pour our drinks right in front of the microphone and you can hear all the water trickle
down. I don't
want
to do any of that.
No, I don't either.
Not but, one bit of it. I don't even want to be around it. And I don't want to talk about it ever again.
I probably could come up. If it was like the top 10 things Jeff would never want to do on a podcast, I bet I could fill at least 7 of those without even trying.
You probably could.
Yeah. And I knew that reaction was worth it. See, it was just so worth it.
I don't listen to it. The only guy I know that listens to stuff like that's Bob Ball. I don't listen to that.
There's no way that Bob Ball does that. That's so good. Oh, my gosh. You know, we've gone on a streak of not mentioning Bob, and I thought we were in a good spot. But here we are. Nope. And, you know, we need one of those charts that says 0 days since a Bob Ball, like, and it just counts up. It wouldn't get out of the single digits, I'm pretty sure. How many episodes have we gone? We love you, Bob. Well, welcome to Mixed Messages, not with Bob Ball, but with Jeff Bogue. I'm also not Bob Ball. I'm Joe Caruso, and we're very glad you're here. We're not doing ASMR today. There is a lot of noise out there, but it's not always clear what to believe or how to live it, and we want to help you sort through all those mixed messages all around us and follow the way of Jesus. So let's go ahead and dive in. Jeff, we have another submitted question today. Love those. And this person asks about kind of the idea of the kingdom of God and kind of how that plays out, not only here right now on earth, but even into heaven. Their question is this. Is there any way to even describe or articulate with biblical truth what the least in the kingdom of heaven would even function or be like? And then what the greatest in the kingdom of heaven would be like. He's thinking Matthew 5, 19 through 20. So here's these two verses. If you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you'll be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so our listener is saying, sounds like there's some version of tiers in heaven, you know, like these different levels. There's the least in heaven, there's the greatest. How does that play out here? How does that play out there? Jeff, how do we kind of navigate that language?
Yeah, so thanks for a simple question that I can answer.
If
quickly.
You have questions, you want to we'll just wrap
like,
up now.
My goodness. I feel like I need to take an Advil. So it's a great question. I'm teasing. It's a great, great question. So let me try to – I was trying to think of how to approach it in a roundabout way. So there's the – let me start with the least on earth and the greatest on earth.
Sure,
okay, yep. So the basic principle is this. The person who gives themselves to the most eternal things on earth will be called great in heaven. Mm-hmm. The person who gives themselves to the most earthly things while on earth will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. So there is a, for lack of a better term, you used a tier system in heaven where some will be least and some will be greatest. What is tied to that is that when we get to heaven, we will be rewarded. And we will be rewarded for our earthly investment that was made on behalf of eternal things. Mm-hmm. So what our listener is asking about here is not salvation in its foundation.
No.
So salvation is by grace through faith alone. It's a gift from God. It cannot be earned, and it comes through Jesus Christ. So once I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and now I'm following Jesus Christ, the question becomes, so to say, what is my devotion and what is my action in that fellowship?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So think of it a little bit this way. Once I become an adult and I have a job, let's say that I have that job for eternity, it's completely secure. What I do with the resources of that job defines my future.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get a job, I had friends who did this. They got out of college, they got their first job, they went out and bought a brand new car, and then they rented an apartment, and then they furnished that apartment with brand new furniture. And I'm thinking of one in particular came to my house. I was like 23 or 4, and I lived in a house that I owned. And my friend was like, how did you buy a house when you're 23, 24? And I'm like, well, I spent my money differently. Mm-hmm. My car over there, which was rear-ended in Pennsylvania, so it could not pass their safety inspection, I paid $500 for it, plus the cost of the bungee cord that keeps the trunk shut. My furniture, Heidi and I got either off the curb or from thrift stores and refinished it. So I have the same amount of money you do, but we invested it in a house. Mm-hmm. You invested it in a car and in furniture. Now, you can do whatever you want. There's no sin,
yeah.
But your investment depreciates. Mm-hmm. My investment appreciates. And 30 years later, mm-hmm. the appreciation of my house looks differently. Mm-hmm. And I still drive a relatively plain, I drive an F-150. Mm-hmm. Like I drive a relatively plain car, mm-hmm. right? Don't own a boat, don't own a lake house, don't own a, none of that's a sin, but like we made a different investment, mm-hmm. okay? You can make money, you can go out to eat every day, or you can put it away and you can put 10 bucks away every day for your adult life. You'll be a multimillionaire when you retire. Mm-hmm. So it's that mindset. Like I'm not sinning per se, but I'm investing into eternal things. Mm-hmm. And that investment puts me at a different place when I get to heaven. If you go to Chipotle every day and I put 10 bucks away every day, when we start to live off of that income, because I'm not retiring. I don't know if you are or not, but I'm not.
Next year, I think.
Yeah. But I'll retire as a millionaire. Mm-hmm. You may retire just fine, mm-hmm. but I'll be in a completely different spot because I made different decisions along the way.
Even if it wasn't investment, at the end of that month, you'd have spent $400 or $800 or whatever it is versus having $400, $800.
Right.
Like it's a totally different thing.
So think of our lives within our salvation, mm-hmm. okay, so this is not earning our way to heaven, that's a gift. Within our salvation, I can lay up for myself treasures in heaven. Mm-hmm. That Jesus is very clear about this. So I can spend that $400 a month on Chipotle, or I can invest it into the work of the church, or supporting a missionary, or et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I can spend my time watching a movie a night, or I can watch one movie a week and spend my time trying to reach my neighbors for Christ. Mm-hmm. I can work a bunch and to support whatever I want to support, or I can work enough to support my family, and my family and I can be involved in the mission of the church. I can take my kids on a Disney cruise, or I could take the whole family on a short-term missions trip. Mm-hmm. And there's different returns on those investments. I want to be, for the sake of this conversation, mm-hmm. I want to rule out, so to say, you guys have to be gracious with me on this. It's hard to talk about. And you can pick it apart, so just don't. Get the big picture, okay? I want to rule out sin. Mm-hmm. So this is not like I'm buying drugs or I'm tithing. You know, this is like
freedom to do with what's yours.
Freedom to do with what God has given you. Mm-hmm. And God's like, you can do as much with that as you want, or as little of that. You have a choice with it within parameters, because I think giving is a command, right? But in the end of life, it pays off differently. So what I'm earning, the Bible says, is crowns of righteousness. These are not just tied to my income. This is my time, my investment, my forgiveness, my patience, all of the Christian life. But I'm earning crowns of investment. So if you want to earn a really big crown, be martyred. There's a special reward for you mm-hmm. in heaven. If you want to lay up treasures for yourself,
the crown's probably not as big if you go do something dumb to get martyred.
No. I didn't say go hurt people. Uh-huh. I'm like, you know, but like when you look at Stephen in the Bible or yep. William Tyndale, and you know, they had a special crown because they invested their life in a special mm-hmm, way. Mm-hmm. So the more I serve Jesus, the more I'm rewarded for it. Mm-hmm. And then when we get to heaven, the Bible says that we're each going to be given our crowns. Mm-hmm. And our life is going to go through the purifying fire of judgment. Mm-hmm. Paul talks about this in Corinthians. He says our life, he compares it to a house, mm-hmm. is going to go through the fire of judgment. Mm-hmm. This is not, do you get into heaven or out of heaven? This is, what is the value of what you built your life mm-hmm. off of? And he says, things that are wood, hay, stubble, and straw are burned up. Mm-hmm. But things that are precious stones and gold and silver, they're going to survive the fire. Those are the eternal investments I made with my life. Mm-hmm. And then it's off of those things that I'm rewarded. There's two judgments at the end of time. One is the great white throne, and that determines if people go to heaven or hell. That's Jesus talks about this when he says, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. Mm-hmm. The other judgment is called the Bema Seat judgment, mm-hmm. and that's for believers.
Yep.
If you know what if you think of the Olympics, and this, you think of an athlete getting a gold, silver, or bronze, and they stand up on a platform and play the national anthem, that platform in Greek is called a Bema. Mm. So it's the platform of reward, mm-hmm. and it allows me to be rewarded from what I do. Now, what does that look like? And that's where I'm like, now you really get into speculation.
Right.
Do you get a bigger room? Do you get a different zip code? What is it? The Bible says that there are no tears. There's no sorrow. Mm-hmm. So we will be worshiping. We will be enjoying. We will be fulfilled. We will be in the presence of God. So what does this look like? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know exactly. This might be what it feels like. I thought of this illustration years ago. I've used it a lot, but I remember this specifically. I remember in high school. So the first 2 years of high school, I was a total nerd, picked on, bullied. The last 2 years, I was very popular. And some other podcasts, I'll tell you how to climb that ladder and defeat the system. But I wound up kind of being this popular, well-liked kid and all the rest. So I was... There was parts of my life where I was just too cool for school, right? And so I thought it was dumb. I remember my senior year, we had the awards assembly. Mm-hmm. I'm the cool kid, and then that kid got a full ride to the Air Force Academy. Mm-hmm. And that kid got a scholarship. And that kid was the valedictorian. And that kid... And what happened at graduation... The cool kids, nobody had the cool. It's like, all right, Jeff Bogue's the coolest kid in the class. He's giving the speech. The one who actually invested their high school properly, the valedictorian, mm-hmm. the salutatorian, the kids who got the big scholarships are the ones who are recognized. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, the cool kids like me were kind of put in our place a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, we all graduated.
Right.
But I definitely, I remember distinctly, of course, I've been to my kids' graduations. I remember distinctly thinking, I could have done a lot more with this mm-hmm. than been cool.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of like that. Now, will you feel that? Will you be full of regret? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But the one who... was truly godly and sacrificial on earth will be recognized in heaven.
Yeah.
And I think we'll admire them. And the path to that is investing in eternity. If you invest in eternity on earth, you're rewarded eternally. If you invest in earthly things on earth, there's no reward for it. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus says, if I lose my life, I gain it. Mm-hmm. If I gain my life, I lose it. And somehow in heaven, that will be known and play out.
That happened. I love that analogy, by the way. I think that like really nails it. And I remember that happening to me in a different way. So I have a pretty good memory, and that's pretty much how I nailed high school, because I would take a class, I remember the information, I would take the test, I would do very well on the test, and then I would forget everything. But I had a good memory for the, so I ended up being 10th in my class, like did pretty well. And then I remember those last, like, let's call it 6 months or so of my senior year, it dawned on me. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be like 10th in my class. I'm like, I wonder if I could like climb to 9th or 8th or 1st or, you know, whatever. And I realized, nope, not a chance, for the exact same reason. I'm like, these other students, they were taking the extra credits in college. They were getting ahead with different assignments or clubs or activities or reading 10 times as much as I was. And I'm like, oh, I'm not investing my life. Matter of fact, even the second half of my senior year, we had block scheduling, 4 classes a day. I was in drawing and painting, ceramics, show choir, and study hall.
That's close to kindergarten.
It was phenomenal.
Drawing and painting.
It was phenomenal, except... Except, it, I mean, you're right.
It's really close to kindergarten.
It was, and it was fantastic, by the way. But like you're saying, like at a minimum, I could have taken some like post-secondary and yeah, got ahead in college.
Got ahead.
Like, but I didn't know to do that. And I didn't invest those that time and those years in ways. And I suddenly realized, I'm like, oh, it's no wonder you're ahead of me in this. You're working toward it. I'm just kind of trying to get by. And I graduated and I got a little rope to go around my thing, but I wasn't valedictorian. I didn't do that. I didn't do the work.
It's choices. I had somebody very recently ask me about being a dad, and you know, Heidi and I have 6 children, and we have our daughter-in-law's now too, so we would say we have 9, but we had 6 children that we birthed and raised. And somebody said to me, they're like, how did you do that? And I said, well, I didn't play golf. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of, my kids were my hobby, you know, and I look back, and I think heaven's a little bit like this. Like I look back and I'm like, I was an engaged father. Like I tried, and mm-hmm. my kids knew that and sensed that. And I have a wonderful relationship with them. And now I can play golf if I want to.
Sure.
Right? See, the investment paid off. Now, I just don't want to. You know? So, like, but there's other things, but there's a reward at the end of that. If all, I'm not saying playing golf is a sin. So,
yeah, hear me. I love that category. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, like, I had to make choices mm-hmm. and, who I said no to myself, no to the most was myself, mm-hmm. because I wanted a different reward.
Yep.
See, and it's, I did play golf here and there, you know, for whatever, but I'm like, yeah, I don't have the time mm-hmm. to do this, and I would rather be with them. Mm-hmm. It's those kind of things. There's nothing wrong with golf. There's nothing wrong with being with your kids. You get different outcomes.
Yep.
Now, unless your kid likes to play golf, you know, and so that you do that all stuff, but you're making choices. There's nothing wrong with driving a nice car, nothing. But the cost is not the car. There's other cost. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God has blessed people with finances and they can do both. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
I'm a guy that I have to make a decision. Like mm-hmm. If I want to drive a Lamborghini, mm-hmm. I can't do for the Lord with what I want to do. If I want to pick up a hobby, then I can't serve the church the way that I serve the church. Mm-hmm. I can't do both of those things,
yep.
right? And so it's just you're constructing life, you're constructing for eternity, and God is rewarding you for it. Mm-hmm. Now our listener here is like, what does that reward look like? I'm like, I know there's crowns. I know that there's the presence of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to be in heaven thinking, oh, man, I wish I would have been Mother Teresa. I don't think that. But I do think we're going to know the difference. And I think it's going to surprise us. I think some of those predominant Christians on the planet are going to stand in the shadows of people whose names we've never heard in heaven. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus has a version of that. If you get your reward on earth, like that's your reward in full. And yeah. he's not knocking it. He's like, right, you got the recognition, you got the standing, like yeah. people knew you were doing it for the kingdom. in heaven, he's like, I need to show you the faithful work of all these other people you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be, I got some friends and I'm like, I can't wait for their day in heaven because no one knows what they do.
Yeah.
And
I think Billy Graham is going to be well rewarded in heaven.
Sure.
I don't think it's because he filled stadiums. I think it's because he's a faithful husband. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it's because he would not cave to racism.
Sure.
Like he broke color barriers all through. He wouldn't mm-hmm. go to certain cities unless they let the mm-hmm. the meeting be integrated. So I don't think it's because he drew the most people. I think it's because he took what God gave him. He was given a bunch, and he invested it in a godly way, mm-hmm. and he made mistakes with it too. Mm-hmm. I also think my dad mm-hmm. might be standing next to Billy Graham mm-hmm. because he did all the same things, mm-hmm. but he did it as a factory foreman.
Yep.
And Jesus sorts that out. And I don't, the Bible is not clear, so I don't want to speculate, but somehow we know that and it plays out in heaven mm-hmm. and we feel fulfilled and in awe of, and I don't think we feel challenged as much as we feel happy and proud of
yeah.
the other person. When Heidi completed the New York City Marathon, I didn't think to myself, I got to run a marathon. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, that's amazing, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I am so happy for you. Mm-hmm. And she even was like, you want to run one now? I'm like, no, never.
Yeah.
I mean, I barely drive 26 miles. So, but I'm like, I'm just proud of what you did. Yep. And we had a big banner made and we put it in our front yard. Our mom just ran the New York City Marathon. Mm-hmm. I think it's like that. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like a regret or a jealousy or an envy, mm-hmm. I think it's more like giving honor to who honor's due and enjoying the process of giving that honor.
Yep. I think this is such a great conversation, not only because it helps us know and prioritize what to invest in, but I think if we'll do some of the personal work of going beyond this episode and just thinking through. Do I go to Chipotle more than I probably should? Do I watch too many movies? Not because you should feel guilty, but do you have an opportunity to flip that into some investments that will mean something more on this earth and more throughout eternity? Could be an amazing exercise, and it will almost assuredly bring you way more satisfaction, fulfillment, and certainly that idea in heaven than you ever imagined.
I think you hit on something huge right there. I think most of the time when we say, I don't have money to serve the Lord or time to serve the Lord, what we mean is I don't have the ability to change my life and serve Jesus. I can't have my cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is like, right, you're making a decision. Mm-hmm. So I can't go to Chipotle twice a week and go line dancing and hang out with my friends and give faithfully to the Lord and invest in somebody's life. And I can't serve Jesus without curtailing the life that I want to live. Mm-hmm. And I think what Jesus is saying is, when you curtail the life you want to live, I bless you for that.
Right.
There's a reward for it. There's a better thing to do with it.
I love it. I hope this actually stirs a lot of things in our listeners. It's stirring some stuff in me as we talk about it. If you have questions that you'd like us to tackle, you, Jason in particular, pointing at our producer, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them our way. We'd love to dive into this stuff. And we'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you, so don't be a stranger. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review, and help others find it too. And of course, if you're looking for a place to run after Jesus and find some of those priorities we're talking about, you're welcome to join us at Grace this weekend or even begin to check us out online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all of these mixed messages all around us. We'll see you next time.